Today on Real Life Radio.
I know there's a person bleeding on the side of the road, and I'm going to pray about it and see how the Lord leads me. I don't think so. I think you might see somebody bleeding on the side of the road, and you respond to help them, and you can be in prayer all along the way.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in the book of Philippians with a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. We're in Philippians chapter 4 with verses 5 through 9. Now in these verses, the Apostle Paul has us looking at ourselves. Are we in distress? Not to worry, for the Lord is here to comfort and strengthen those who turn their anxiety over to Him. Paul goes on to tell us that as Christians, we are not to live in fear because fear cripples our walk with the Lord. Instead, we need to be a people of prayer who leave all of our troubles and worries in His hands. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when we ask the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts, the peace of God will surpass our understanding, and His power will give us the strength to overcome the storms and difficulties of life. And now with his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Well, turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 4. As you turn to Philippians 4, we're in verses 5 to 9, part 2 of our message. And we're looking at a message that has really become a little bit of a theme in this chapter, chapter 4, and that is how to have the peace of God when. And we're filling in that blank. The peace of God when. We saw in verses 1 to 4 that we're to have the peace of God when we're dealing with other people. God's promises to give us peace and the instruction of His word. And last week and this week, we're looking at how to have the peace of God when we're considering ourselves, about our own lives, and how to conduct and live our Christian life in a way that is powerful, honorable to God. And how do we deal with some of the things that threaten us as believers? And when I talk about threaten, there's a point where things externally threaten us. Evil on the outside threatens us. There is violence that might threaten us to some degree. But the greatest threat that comes to you and I are the threats that come from within. And as believers, many of the threats that we confront are threats that are most often actual non-threats, meaning God has dealt with them. We need to remember that. But some of the things that we have to deal with is just the constant barrage of our own thinking, our own minds, what goes on in the inside of us. So that's what we're studying. Philippians 4, pick it up with me in verses 5 through 9. If you remember here from last week, he says, "Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He begins the conclusion now that takes the rest of the chapter. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw. What an amazing statement. In me, says Paul, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What an awesome statement. What a tremendous power. We saw last time, church, and we began to crack open this first argument found in verses 5 through 7, is how to have the peace of God when it's me, when it's you, personally, that we're talking about. That's what he's drawing our attention to this morning. And we saw in verses 5 through 6 that We're asking God to help us in our distress. When he says, let your gentleness be made known to all men, the Lord is at hand. I ask you to mark those five words. The Lord is at hand. That is the catalyst. That's the fuel to the argument. It's an awesome thing. We'll see more about this in a moment. He goes on there in verse 6, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, number one, number two, supplication, number three, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We saw that in all of our distress, we are to absolutely be people trusting God. That when you and I are anxious and we worry, we are not trusting the Lord. We saw this very powerful word, gentleness, in the New King James Bible. Now look in your version. I don't know if you've got the New Living or the Old King James or whatever, but I pointed out to you the word gentleness that is mentioned in the New King James, let your gentleness be made known to all men, is a very difficult word in the Greek to translate because it's such a huge definition. Simply, we reduced it down to this. It would mean let your conduct be more just than justice itself. Do you guys remember, were you here last week? Do I need to go over that again? I don't. Remember, the living out of this word was Jesus when he had brought to his feet the woman caught in the act of adultery. And Jesus exercised a justice that was more than what justice declared. Justice said she was to be stoned for committing adultery. Jesus exercised a justice that transcends the very law itself. Without violating the law, God showed us his mercy. And the Bible turns right around today and says, first of all, we begin regarding the peace of God in our lives, talking about and thinking about ourselves, that we need to do this. And that is, we need to be just to the point of gentleness, yet without compromise. And the whole reason is because the Lord is at hand. But we saw that that the word anxious means that we are to no longer be as Christians, and this is convicting, we're to no longer be as Christians tossed by worrisome threats. We are not to be vibrating with fear. That if we are anxious or worrying, it means that we've picked something up from the hand of God and we've assumed it back to ourselves, and that it is now the focal point of our energy. We are now preoccupied. We are terrorized by the anxiety and how that cripples us. And we saw something that is very important, that wrong thinking. When we're anxious, we think wrong, which leads to ill feelings. We begin to feel and we begin to have emotions that are astray from what God would have us to experience, and that always leads to regrettable actions. In other words, we always make bad, bad decisions when we are thinking wrong. And the outcome of that is disastrous. And we left off with this challenge. The Bible says to counter anxiety, we are to pray. We can't pray enough, church. In fact, would you agree with me? If not, just fake it. Will you just make me feel better? I'm always convicted about how little I pray. I've never met a person who's ever had the arrogance or ignorance to say, oh, I've prayed enough. We've never prayed enough. But you know what's weird about that? Would you also agree with me that after praying, the moment does come where you need to step onto the field or get into the battle or make the decision or go with the plan? You notice what I'm talking about? That's true in life, isn't it? Now listen, this is a very serious thing in our Christian walk. Because we take the example for something to hide behind, where in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I believe it is, where it says that we're to pray about everything. And sometimes as Christians, because we're fearful, watch how we muddy this up. We're fearful, we pray, but we don't release it to God. We pray, and I'm not even sure if we're really praying when we're praying. We might just be informing God about how much we're worrying about it. But we pray, and then the moment comes to step, and we don't step. There's a contradiction to the invitation to pray. We are to pray. We all confess. We never pray enough. But there comes a moment when you've got to step out. There was a moment when Moses had to enter into the waters of the Red Sea. There's a moment when Joshua had to go into the river, Jordan and cross. There's a moment where you gotta go. Many times, Christians, we will drape our, what? Fear, our timidity in prayer, but we never move. And I think we're actually lying to ourselves. When we pray, we come to that point where now we've gotta go and we've gotta leave it in the hands of God. It doesn't mean we stop praying, but it means we get our feet moving. We step out. A lot of Christians today will pray and they'll say, well, I haven't made that decision yet, or pastor, I'm not gonna get involved in church yet, or I'm not gonna do that thing, or I'm not gonna feed the homeless. Imagine that for a moment. I'm still praying about it. I know there's a person bleeding on the side of the road and I'm gonna pray about it and see how the Lord leads me. I don't think so. I think you might see somebody bleeding on the side of the road and you respond to help them and you can be in prayer all along the way. But at some point in time, the Christian and the church in America has got to pray and then pull the lever, as it were, or cast the vote, or step out and do the deed to honor God. And then that next thing we saw last time together was this: we are to make supplication. That means we are to make petition for ourselves and for others. We're to pray for people. And look, if you attend this church, I know today, many of those who attend, this is a traditional Sunday where very few people are here because they're across the nation on vacation, or they're skiing, or they're goofing off, or whatever they're doing with family, and that's a good thing. I mean goof off in a good way. You should be goofing off with family. It's beautiful. But we're here as a family, as a church, and you might say, well, the church is too big. Well, it all depends on how you approach this. Listen, big church, a lot of opportunities to be in prayer. Oh, I want to serve the Lord, we will say. Then great, a big church is a place where you can serve the Lord in 1,000 different directions. Of course, in a small church, if there's more than, you know, you and your family, there's always enough need. But we need to be a people of prayer and a people of action. So we pray and we lift up others. And notice the whole attitude about it all. All of our prayer and all of our supplication is to be offered up to God with thanksgiving. We're to be thankful to God. And so now dive back in with me. We pick it up where we left off. Here we go. It's in verse 7. How to have the peace of God when it's me we're talking about here, when it's you we're talking about. And that is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We would see this in verse 7. God, we would pray, open up the eyes of my heart. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's nothing weak about verse 7. It is powerful. Notice, the peace of God. It's not, look in your Bibles, it's not a peace. This is the peace of God. This is that word Irene. If your name is Irene, it's the peace of God that is dispatched by God himself. In other words, am I a Christian? Yes. Am I weak and frail? Of course. Is God's word true? Absolutely. Then listen, my Christian endeavor is to take the fact that I'm a Christian and fight through my weakness, clinging onto the word of God, the promises of God, with such tenacity that I will not have a fleeting, momentary peace, but I will have, as promised, the peace of God. The peace of God in storms. The peace of God in difficulties. The peace of God at the moment of death. The peace of God. The definite article, the, not a, the peace of God, which surpasses. Oh, this is good. Listen, surpasses. Overwhelming. Abounding. Beyond the limit line, or beyond the vanishing point, surpasses. So we need to pray, oh God, when it comes to my life, help me, Lord, to see this. When it's me, we're talking about God. I can have faith. I can pray for you. Are you like this? I'm like this in life. If you come to me and you say, Pastor, I'm sick, I can pray for you in faith, and I'll even thank God in advance. Oh God, touch my brother, touch my sister. But then, you know, it's me. When I'm sick, I have to confess this to you. I don't have to confess. I'm going to choose to confess this to you. I don't normally do this, but I was so hungry. I went and I got something to eat. And here's the first warning. I picked up this food thing and the lid was open. And I said, ma'am, you might want to throw this away. The lid's open. Then I grabbed the second one, and the lid wasn't as open, but it still concerned me. It wasn't exactly shut either. So what did I do? Number one, I'm hungry. Number two, I'm in a hurry. Number three, give it the smell test. Smelled fine to me. Laid down my money, bought it, ate it, got sicker than a dog. Fastest way to lose 10 pounds, I tell you what, man, I got food poisoning this week, sicker than a dog. You know what was sad about the whole thing? Here I am, I taught last week on prayer, I'm telling you about it today, and I realized about 3 days into it, I hadn't even asked God to heal me. I'm thinking, well, surely he knows what I've been doing. This is your pastor talking to you, encouraging you to be spiritual, and here I am saying, I've been sick for like 3 days. I guess I should ask the Lord to heal me. Isn't that terrible? But if you come to me in an instant, brother, let's pray. Why? Because I believe God wants to heal you. And I completely neglected myself about that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
God wants to move in our lives, and I wonder how many times we leave him out, as it were, at the curb. He's waiting to get involved, but the Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. And that may sound like a silly illustration to you, but it meant something to me. 3 days into this, God prompted my heart, when are you going to ask me to make you better? Oh, sorry, Lord. You're right. You see the word understanding here? It's the word to excel, to go beyond, listen, beyond the intellect. This is a challenge for us. He wants to give us the peace of God which surpasses my intellect. In other words, my way of reasoning. Lord, I figured this all out, and I should not have peace in the midst of this thing. When I do the math and the budget doesn't work and we're going to be belly up at the end of the month, why do I have peace? Have you ever been in a situation like that and your family turns to you and they're asking, why aren't you panicking? You have the peace of God. Or the doctor says, you know what, you've got this. And everybody starts breaking down crying and you've got peace. And they think, oh, look, the poor man's in denial. And you even begin to think yourself, I guess I should be freaking out. And you can't explain it. God brings you a peace that goes beyond. Christian, can you hear my voice? Are you hearing me right now? To the Christian, I can tell you, because of the word of God, it says so, that when the crisis comes to the child of God, God, without earning, without merit, without you somehow having enough brownie points to get it, God bestows upon you his peace that surpasses your ability, your intellect, your thinking, and it actually causes confusion among other people while you have a peace that passes all understanding. And you know down deep inside, Lord, thank you. I can't figure this out. And I don't want to figure it out. And you leave it to God. It's an awesome place to be. Christian, if you've never experienced that, in life you will. Your God will not abandon you in that moment of trial. And then he says it will guard. Your heart will be guarded. The word guard, this is a great military term. It means to put a point man out in front. There's a point man. That man is highly armed. He's walking point. He's going out ahead of everybody. The Lord is out ahead of you. He's the point man. The word is translated to have eyes ahead of the issue. God's peace will go out ahead of the issue. Jesus will go ahead of you as the point man on the issue. And the word also means to have a garrison around you. So watch this. The Bible says that when you pray and call out to God and seek him, that in all of your life's issues, Jesus Christ takes point. He's out front, going first. That means he'll take the first shot. He's got eyes all around your situation, and you're garrisoned with his protection. You are right in the middle of the protection of God. God will garrison. He will guard, number one, your heart. Look at your heart. This is that simple word. You've probably thought about it already. It's cardia, the deep-seated person of who you are. Yes, it's the word for your actual heart that beats blood, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something more important than that. We're talking about the deep-seated area of your emotion, of your very being. When the Bible says, for example, there was no heart left in them, that means all hope was taken from them. Or their hearts were strengthened in the Lord. That means all hope came to them. Where? To the deep core of who they are. And the Bible makes you a promise right here this morning. God is saying, I will garrison the deep-seated emotions of your very soul. I will protect you. The deepest emotions, the deepest thoughts, the core of your feelings. And then some of your amplified Bibles might put it this way. Guard your hearts and guard your minds. A repeat of that. A garrison of your minds. This word mind here is the word, the place of your perception. Church, you and I need this. Our perception. This is a dangerous thing if we perceive things wrong. Listen to me. It means disposition. It means the devices that we employ, the place from where we observe. This is critical. The peace of God, look in your Bible, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will garrison your hearts and garrison your minds. I need this. You and I, listen, when we're not praying, our minds will get off into an area and we'll view things from a different angle that's not right. A prism, if you shine light through it, there's a way to shine light into a prism that doesn't work. You could take unorganized light, ambient light that's in this room, and you can set up a prism. If you've had seventh grade science class, you've had that prism where you shine a light, and there's a very vague, maybe almost, can you see the rainbow look shining out of the prism? Well, that's from ambient or disorganized light. The prism is still trying to broadcast the frequencies or the colors of the spectrum, and you see that as a faint rainbow. You might see it this afternoon. If it clears up, there'll be a rainbow. The more intense the light focused, the more intense the rainbow. If you shoot a laser, as it were, or organized light through a prism, you'll have a very brilliant rainbow display of color. Why? The perspective's changed. The angle of how it's viewed is changed. Listen, you and I, many of us need this in our lives. In fact, let me take that back. All of us need this. We need to change the way we view things. Right now, as I stand here, as you sit here today, we have a dear brother in this church that may, in the last 30 minutes, have passed into glory. We're waiting to hear. His family is surrounding him. Any moment now, there may be those in that family that are viewing it from an angle of unorganized light. Are you with me? They're viewing his departure as a very tragic thing or as a very, very dark thing. A believer, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We walk with the Lord. We have fellowship with God. And listen, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter how stormy the day might be, because the Lord is the light of life, when we look through the prism of life with organized light, what is broadcast on the other side is the glory of God. And for us, it's like, oh, we've got the wrong perspective. We're looking at the situation with our human eyes. And God wants us and God calls us to back up and to put on his eyes, as it were. And the word of God, by the way, is that light. And are those eyes, the word, the promises of God to the issue? Everything changes. So we want to ask ourselves, how is it and what am I thinking regarding the situation of my life? Open up the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today, and our hope is that you'll find Christ, and you'll allow his promises to bring you peace. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Haven't we all heard the phrase, slow and steady wins the race? But could that also be true when it comes to daily living? In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe is our current featured resource, and it's not only thought-provoking, it celebrates the value of careful planning. Wiersbe says that plotting and intentional decision-making are crucial for achieving meaningful outcomes. In Praise of Plotters by Warren Wiersbe is yours today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
The mission of the church is to make disciples of all believers. That's why we're getting together on Friday, September 8th for Just Church. Hey, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs here, and I am personally inviting you to come and join us for Just Church. We're going to have simple worship, we're going to have a Bible study, and we're going to have a time together for Just Church. And you don't have to pay for anything. You just come. Learn more by going to justchurchsocal.com, and I'll see you at Just Church.
Justchurchsocal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.